Stanford Steve and the Bears presented by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win.
The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Week 2. Stanford Steve and the Bear. Bear is back home for a bit. A little longer travel than normal there, Bear. We had, where do you go? Charlotte.
No. Well, I came home. I came back.
Oh.
Yeah. It's great.
What's better than that?
Easy flight Sunday morning back to Connecticut. Spent the afternoon moving some furniture around the house that we just finally got delivered after ordering it the first week of February.
Okay.
And then went back down to Atlanta on Monday morning. It's great.
Well, we get a little barbecue down in Charlotte.
Max barbecue was good. Very good. Carolina barbecue. Yep.
What do we got in store? What are we expecting? We got a big one out in Ames.
Definitely going to head to Provisions okay. Lot F on Thursday or Friday. Then we got to figure it out. We did Hickory Park last time, but maybe we'll do something else.
They just have steaks the size of your head out there.
I didn't get that last time.
No.
What did I get at Hickory Park? I can't remember. I don't know if it were ribs or if it was something else, but that Provisions Lot F restaurant was really, really good. Good music playing in the background.
You get to watch Tom Brady while you're eating dinner.
Yes, we do. Who's going to blow it up? Who's going to blow the teaser up? Because everybody is going to have Rams, Niners, Bucks, three-teamer.
Yep.
Who's blowing it up? Because it ain't going to win. You and I know, been around this racket long enough to know that someone's going to blow it up.
Yep.
You think it's 18 double espresso, dude?
I do. I'm fascinated to see. I want to watch the Lions, and I'm getting crushed for saying this. I really do. I want to see what it looks like. And I am dying to watch Jags-Texans. I need to see what this looks like. Our guy McKenzie was sending out stats about home division dogs. Week 1 has had a very high success rate. And I believe that the Texans fall in that category. And then who's home in Patriots and
– It's at Miami, isn't it?
It is. Right? All right. So New England's favorite in that game?
I believe it's New England at Miami. Let me triple check here. No, I have it incorrect. No. Miami at New England. New England's favorite.
Oh, wait. Yeah, New England's favorite.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
Maybe it's just division dogs then. So keep your eyes on that one.
Yeah, I'm looking. I don't see any other games that fit that mold this week. Then
underdogs in division games week 1 are 26-9-3 against the spread since 2013. Your picks this week: Texans +3 or Dolphins +2.5. Either or there. Okay. So there's your NFL preview. That's what I got my eyes on. Lions, no, Jags, Texans.
Here's my, and I can't remember if I talked about it last week or not. I don't know who's going to do this in Survivor, but with so many of these just field goal toss up type games. And if you don't want to burn one of those big three, like if you can buy the extra entry, and just take Oppo, take Jacksonville on one entry, take Houston on another. You're going to advance with a team that you're never, ever, ever going to want to use the following week. You're guaranteed getting through. I'm actually in one where you can buy back only after week 1. So I bought the extra entry, and I'm guaranteed now to advance with 2 because I'll lose on one of them and buy back in. I think it's a smart strategy as opposed to rolling the dice with one of those big favorites that everybody's going to use. And like we talked about, one of them's going to get clipped. They're not all going to get win, and I'd rather – buy the extra fee than try and guess which one might lose.
Yeah. Our guy Tyler on Daily Wager said he's all in on the Jags week 1 Survivor. So
good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
it's a weird week here. I think it's a really tough week handicapping wise.
It is.
Because, I mean, the overreaction, Scott and I did a podcast Monday night, and just looking back, like, what do you take in for inventory and what has sustainability and what do you throw out combined with what you saw from teams last year in a COVID situation? And it's really hard. And especially with the big games, you know, starting off here early on, the noon kick, or probably 12:18, Oregon and Ohio State. Obviously, Thibodeau injury is huge. I don't think they can do it without him.
Not on the picture either.
And him being in a boot right away, not the greatest sign. He was an absolute wrecking ball, as you can imagine, when he did get snaps and turn that whole game around. And then Fresno methodically comes back. Gave out Fresno, felt really good about that pick, knowing all the circumstances. Didn't think they were going to be leading in the fourth quarter. But what do you take from Oregon? Did you expect more? Like, we love Moorhead. You know, we saw, you know, the quarterback situation play out the way it did. They can't, they're not going to come close. They're not going to come close in this game if they play like that again.
No, I expected more from them offensively for sure. Yeah. That was a concerning thing. Was I surprised it was close? No, because you liked Fresno, and mm-hmm. and I thought this was a much bigger possibility for Oregon looking past Fresno to the Ohio State game. Kind of, that's kind of how it played out. But I would expect Oregon's offense to play a little bit better, but without Thibodeau being able to get pressure, I think Oregon can score some points in this game. Mm-hmm. Because I think Ohio State has some problems, not problems in terms of relative to Ohio State, at that linebacker position. So I do think Oregon's going to be able to score. I don't know if I'd want to get too involved in this at 14.5, just because it is a lot of points. And if I do think Oregon can score, once they start posting some team totals and such, maybe I'll take a look and maybe I'll take an Oregon team total over. That might be how I'll go about doing it. But I think they're going to have a hard time slowing down Ohio State if they cannot rush the passer, and that would be a big, big problem.
Yeah, and that's the deal here. You know Ohio State's going to come in with a bunch of adjustments, seeing how Minnesota ran all over them. And I think Oregon has to run the ball with Vardell in order to be in this game.
And so Ibrahim is so much better than anything Oregon has at running back anyway. So I don't even know if will they be able to do that, maybe in a different type of fashion.
I like the Oregon running backs. I think they're legit. But then you also factor in, I mean, Oregon ran the ball with the quarterback, Anthony Brown, 16 times. He had 56. Travis Dye, 13 for 64. Vardell, 18 for 74. Each Vardell and Dye had a touchdown on the ground. So when you factor in the over-under at 63, we saw the capability of the Ohio State offense. Mm-hmm. Not even fair. And what I will say is, if I had to take a side of this, I would go Ohio State, because if Thibodeau plays, I still get that Ohio State offensive line. I love that group. Seeing that versatility they have. I love the tight end. And then you just saw, I mean, the receivers are just, I mean, everybody's like, oh, how do you know, PJ Fleck, how do you leave these guys so open with your scheme? Like, that's why they're Ohio State. That's what they're a bastard to play against, because of the speed that they can just get on top of you so fast. And with the crossing routes and Stroud getting that time for those guys to run into open spaces, that's the kicker. I mean, you saw last year them do it against Clemson with guys running free. So it's Lane didn't coach the other night. I know people are still saying Lane's the best play caller. I would still take Ryan Day.
They're 1-1A, man. What Ryan did at halftime and come out in the second half and making Stroud feel really comfortable. I mean, there were 5 passes in the second half, 4 went for touchdowns.
And he had 3 throws that were this close in the first half. You know, I mean, the guys were wide open. They were touchdowns. So I do expect Stroud to be a lot more calm. Take your pick with the running backs, as you can see. There's still a lot to like. Like, I think back to the Indiana game and how they kept coming at Ohio State last year. And I don't think Brown could do that. I don't think they can rely on constantly being in third and sevens and converting. So I would have to lean Ohio State in this game. Obviously, the Thibodeau injury is huge, but I do not think it's going to be in my column or an official pick. But you know, in your office pools where you got to pick that game, I think I would go Ohio State. Next, your game, College Game Day at Ames, 4:30 ABC. We've been waiting all offseason for it. It's the Cy-Hawk. It's Iowa at Iowa State. Now, looking at Iowa State, you see the score. 13-10 at half, 16-10 final. I believe they had 10 drives all game. That's what they had. Looking at it, you go back and you see, you know, Northern Iowa I know why you got to play the game, but like, do you have to play this, that Northern Iowa game with your Iowa State, knowing like Northern Iowa 21 starters back and their defense was, you know, legit. Iowa State only had 60 plays. That's what it was, 60 plays on 10 drives. And that's as boring as it gets. That's what Matt Campbell wants. Now, they've had success in doing so because that stubbornness has frustrated other Big 12 teams who want to get up and down the field. The problem is Iowa does the same thing. And in this matchup, Iowa's had the better half. Assess.
I think this is one of those games where I think there's going to be a big overreaction to what we saw in the Iowa State opener, but they've done this before. I mean, they did it last year in the opener against Louisiana, lost the game. They've done it in the past where they've survived in overtime against Northern Iowa, and they come out the following week and played really well. I think this was one of those games. I think there was so much anticipation for the game this coming week. It's human nature. It's natural. Yeah. And I think you're going to see a much better game performance from Iowa State on the offensive side of the ball on Saturday. I think it's going to be potentially I don't want to say complete one-way action on this game on Iowa, but I think you're going to see a majority of people on Iowa just because of how good they looked, especially defensively against Indiana. We were all over that game. That was about as easy as it came. It was interesting, too, because you told me that there were some rumblings in that game about Penix maybe not playing. And your information, by the way, whoever passed that information along to you, was spot on because he probably shouldn't have been playing. He did not look to be 100%, and he threw a couple of costly pick sixes. We'll see. I think Iowa is going to be a very public side in this game. I'd be careful here. I think Iowa State, sometimes when you get a performance like that out of your system, you're going to improve a ton in week two. And what's keeping Iowa State in a lot of these games and giving them wins, just how well they've played defensively in the second half. You go back to last year, last six games, they've allowed 16 points in the second half, one touchdown and 33 drives. So they have played incredibly well. You talked about time of possession advantage on average in those games is almost 5 minutes in the second half. So I'm not going to Ames and not picking Iowa State to win the game. You know, that's just not happening, but I do believe that they are the right side in this game. And I think you'll see a much cleaner, crisper performance. And I do think that they will win. And I think if you wait a little bit, you'll probably be able to get this under four. I think it was 5.5 or six at the open. And now it's down to four and a half. My guess is this will probably come down a little bit more to 3.5 as well.
Yeah, I think this is the ultimate of what do you take out of week one. I mean, you look at Iowa's side. Petras 13 at 27 for 145. Goodson had 99 on 19 carries. Those two pick sixes. The one before the half was just an all-time momentum swing, exactly what you want at home to go up another score. You know, Iowa State didn't turn the ball over. You know, they didn't play sloppy. They just that slow, methodical pace. And I'm with you. I think the overreaction is not. I'm shocked it's still at 4.5. Iowa State has a 3-point favorite here. 3.5. I would take Iowa State in this game because I know what I'm getting there. I know what's cracked up to be. They've been waiting for this game. They obviously didn't play last year. Game day is going to be there. I like how this rides Bear into the day. I love the, what is it? So it's 4.5 hours after game day ends, that kick. That's perfect. That's perfect to get the 30 packs. To get the 30 packs of Natty Light out, they'll be ready to go.
There are never any shortages of Busch Light lattes at 6 a.m. And that was that was like my lasting memory of the first trip to Ames that the show had was pulling up there at like I guess it would have been 6 a.m. And just seeing the flatbeds just with shrink wrapped cases of Busch Light and Natty Light. Just rid of pallets of shrink wrapped, and I'm like, boy, this is a little different here. And it was great because it was like this truck like blocking traffic, and someone was getting out, like backing the truck up, and you see the truck. It's just these fans getting ready to tailgate, and I was like, wow, they are. This is a little different. So I expect to see that again, and it should be an awesome atmosphere. I wonder if Kansas State fans got that national respect for for beating Stanford last week too, like I thought they would.
Yeah, what was the stat you retweeted about Stanford last week?
Oh, that they had the slowest, like they, despite trailing the entire game, they had, they took like an average of 27 seconds between plays, which was the most times between plays of any team of the week.
Yep. But big one for Tanner McKee this week, going on the Coliseum.
What do you make of that game, by the way? Because it wasn't like SC did a whole lot. Like that was, again, no. You loved San Jose State, and
yep,
it got out of hand.
13-7, fourth quarter.
Outside of London, none of their receivers really did a whole lot. But can Stanford, like, score? It's amazing to see how far that program has fallen offensively from having the likes of McCaffrey and Love and the players that they had. And it's a gargantuan effort to score a touchdown now.
Yeah, it is. It's not fun to watch, I'll tell you that. But I do expect them to be better this week. I still don't know about SC. I don't really want to give 17. They've gotten Stanford the last couple times. It's that late Pac-12 window. So you know the Coliseum will be up and running. But, yeah, it's 13-7 going in the fourth quarter. SC gets the field goal and then the pick six. 23-7 like that, and then it's done. But, yeah, I do expect – I mean, you know, Stanford's defense had to hold on for dear life, and they were on the field the whole game. So it's just a matchup. I don't want anything – it'll be a wait and see, knowing what I saw last week and still not sure, I think is what the essence of this podcast and this week of college football is.
I'll be able to take this one in at the Hampton Inn Des Moines Airport. Perfect.
Nice. I asked Scott this question. How many points do I have to give you for you to take South Carolina State at Clemson this week? What's that line going to be, 50?
I was just going to say, that was going to be what I would say. I'd say, give me 50.
I want to say they were given 50 to Citadel last year. Now, South Carolina State lost a tough one last week, 42-41 to Alabama A&M. But you can have
Alabama A&M probably the favorite to win the SWAC.
There you go. I was thinking about those.
Not things. A lot of defense.
No. I am interested in Georgia. Coming off, your Bulldogs got the win by any means necessary. Credit to them. Stayed with it the whole time. Wasn't pretty. Got it done. Kind of what we thought was going to happen with the injuries on the interior of the offensive lines. And those D-lines just wreaked havoc all night long. And it was, you know, Fowler kept saying how much of a throwback it was. And it was.
Beautiful. It was beautiful. But
now Georgia comes in against, you know, a lot of gamblers' favorite coach in the country and Coach Clark at UAB. This line opened at like 28.5. It's down to 24.5. And the over-under is 46.
A whole lot of big middles are going to be available here, I think.
Yeah. UAB didn't look great against Jacksonville State. I think Jacksonville State is worth a look at as they play in Tallahassee this week. But Georgia coming out and seeing, you know, the quick – I mean, they were more efficient in those – you know, I thought Uiagalelei would be more efficient. I thought Daniels did a good job. True freshman from – who was that tight end? From Napa, 19.
He played great. Freak.
Oh,
freak
man.
Show.
Come on. Stepping in against that defense and
Sanford,
making those catches.
It was Sanford, by the way, that played
okay.
Played tight there.
All right.
Yeah, it was funny. Between Pollock – and the head dog, they both were like, 19 is different. He just ZFG, total stud, and you knew where in the first play of the game they're looking for him. And like, yeah. That's what I kind of mentioned him too, is because we all know Washington was out and Pickens was out. They were going to meet somebody, and he was clearly the guy that Daniels felt comfortable with. But you're right. This is going to be an interesting game because Kirby alluded to a couple players tested positive for COVID as well. So you don't know how shorthanded they might be. It'll be interesting to see. You don't like to lay that many points, but at the same time, how many points is UAB going to score without it really? I don't think they're much of a threat to throw the ball, and know they can't run. So, like, do you just go under the 40 and just hope for a 30-7 type of game?
Because to me, I want to see the Georgia offense. Now you're not playing against that elite level defense. You know UAB is going to come with a good game plan, but are they going to have the guys to hold up? I don't think they're gonna. It's a fascinating line to me, knowing what the situation is for Georgia coming off that physical game and getting it going against a team who's not going to be afraid of you. Now they're not going to have the manpower to hold up, but you know, do you give up a trick play? Do you get caught sleeping on, you know, a couple third downs? But to me, I just can't trust UAB's aerial assault, if you will, in this game. I will be watching this one because I want to see how it plays out for sure.
No, you're right. Because and now you have basically everyone out there saying we're headed towards number one Alabama versus number two Georgia in the SEC championship game. And will that psychologically get inside their heads, especially? I mean, look, it's a long season. You never know what's going to happen. If maybe they don't get Pickens back, maybe they don't get Washington back as soon as they hope. Maybe Smith doesn't come back to help that secondary out as well. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know UAB threw for 320 against Jacksonville State and got it cooking. But when I look at that passing game, it's kind of like Ohio State's deal where they're running those deep over routes. You need time for those things to develop. You're not going to have that time against Georgia, who got pressure on Uiagalelei with three guys. So it's a good one. I'll be tuning into that one. All right, I need your help because I want it as bad as the ACC looked.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take two ACC teams favored at SEC schools, but I don't think I could trust them. It's Pitt -3.5 at Knoxville. And then there's NC State -2.5 at Starkville. Mm-hmm. Starkville, we'll start there. That's as close as you're going to get to blowing a game, man. Or I should say blowing it to having a really bad loss. Now, they made all the plays. They get the kick return when they needed it. And they come back and they win by a point. But I just – with NC State – and listen, if there was a big favorite on the board this week I had to take, it might be Florida because of what I looked at with South Florida. I mean, that's as bad as a situation as I watched this past weekend, watching that offense against NC State. But I like the quarterback with NC State. I think, you know, they have some good talent. I don't think they'll be that phased by a crazy atmosphere in Starkville in a night game on a Saturday night. But like after last week, I just don't like the ACC. It's just, I mean, you talk about having a bad taste in your mouth. It doesn't get much worse than what I saw from that conference.
I'd be careful laying the points in Starkville. I don't have a good feeling about that.
How about Pitt?
I'd be careful. Pitt, I would play. It's funny because I don't want to crush. I feel bad. I've already gone down the road, so I have to say it now. But like Joe Milton, mm-hmm. Really? Michigan, I guess, got caught a lot of grief for, and maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but at least they realized they had better quarterback options, I think. Milton's got a hose, but it's just, you never know where. Like, that was just not a good performance by him. If he's going to be their guy against Narduzzi and a Pitt defense this week, I think that's potentially a recipe for disaster.
And that's why I had him written down. I know people say they played UMass last week. They did whatever they wanted. Yes, they did. But when you give me Narduzzi, okay, as good of a defensive mind as there is in the sport, and he's got guys back on the D-line, you know he's going to create pressure with minimal guys that are help him on the back end. And you brought up Milton. And when you have Heupel, no one likes to throw it and take shots more than him. But when you don't hit on him, now you're, you know, instead of, you know, if that's second and 10 and you take that shot, all right, what do you got? Third and 10. So I think it's really interesting to see when Heupel goes for those shots, because I think Pitt's going to be ready for him. They very hard team to catch off balance on defense. And when you talk about consistency, I'll take the consistency of a Narduzzi defense against that Milton-led offense in their second game together as, you know, Milton and Heupel. It should be fun. I think this is a big, big one for Pitt, knowing what happened last week. And like I said, I'll take Narduzzi in that defense on the road, where I know people are going to say, I can't believe you're giving points on the road, but I'll take Pitt as a pick this week.
Hell to Pitt.
Let's go. I hope they wear the good uniforms too. Give me the mustard helmets and the mustard pants.
correct.
That could be a one seed uniform game.
Totally.
That's a good one.
Totally.
But listen, here's another thing I got a problem with. All right.
Talk to me.
Tennessee, Nebraska. You have to go back to the black cleats. You got it. You got to go back to it. You have to wear the black cleats. That's
yes.
If you want to go back, that's rule number one. Go back to the black cleats.
I was going to say, I think that might be the root of the problems. It might be.
And Ohio State, those guys are getting a little away with it. I had a game on from, I believe, 92 this summer. A little Jeff Brohm against Kirk Herbstreit at the Horseshoe.
Champion logo.
It was phenomenal. And Ohio State, you got to go back to the black cleats. All right. Herbie had him on. Nice spat, tight spat.
Galloway
looking pretty.
Ankles about 3-inch diameter.
Just look at how good Garrett Wilson looks in a uniform. It's unbelievable. And he has the black cleats. So there's my uniform spiel. But I will take Pitt. You got any officials you're ready to hand out?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Iowa State is an official.
Okay.
We hit on like overreactions from week one. And one of mine is Washington. Look, they did not play great offensively at all. 3 interceptions. It was a terrible, terrible loss. But you're telling me that's worth 5 points or 5.5 points of a reaction from last week when the look ahead line was -1 and now it's 6.5. Look, they were terrible last week. You lost a game that you had no real business losing. Defensively, you played well, but you throw 3 picks with a new starting quarterback. But the look ahead line was 1 and now it's 6.5. You're telling me that's worth 5.5 points. McNamara played great against the MAC defense, but you're not going to be able to run as well against Washington as you were against Western Michigan. You'll be able to free up those passing lanes. So and this is a Michigan team. You go back, the last 8 games they played against Power 5 teams are 2-6. They've lost 4 straight home games against Power 5 teams. We'll see. Maybe they win, but 6.5 is too many for me in this spot. So I'm going to take Washington plus the 6.5.
Does the A&M Colorado line stink?
Well, it's 17?
Yeah. I watched Colorado.
You did?
I missed it.
I did not.
We got some issues at the quarterback position there. I'll tell you that. But I don't know. I felt like that would be more knowing what they have. I know A&M didn't get off to the best start. Was it 10-3 at half?
10-3 at halftime, yep.
Poor Kent State kicker. Oh, kickers, man. What else do we got here?
James Franklin gets crushed a lot for his coaching end of games timeout situation or whatever. But they did a great job at the end of that game when it was 16-10 and Wisconsin had the ball in deep and it looked like they could take the lead using those timeouts to stop the clock that if Wisconsin did score, they were going to have time left on the clock to be able to come back down for it and attempt a winning field goal. So if you're going to crush the guy when he screws up, you gotta give him all the credit in the world for the way they play at the end of that game. But wow, was that – how do you run 95 plays and score 10 points?
That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. I'm good. I said if you won that game, you're going over. So we got a loser on a Penn State win total under this year. I don't feel good about. Obviously, our Huskies are done with the loss to the old Holy Cross. And Carolina, gotta feel good about the under with Carolina after they lost that one, and looking like they did. So we're plugging along.
Do you feel about Wisconsin, by the way, after that game? Eastern Michigan, is it? I mean, we know that they played some Big Ten teams tough in the past. Mm-hmm. That's a big number. I'm curious to see how this whole Graham Mertz thing works out.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. I will say they're basically all physical mistakes. You know, I mean, the turnovers inside, you know, the red zone are fixable things. And when you look at the defensive side, it was kind of surprising to see Wisconsin get beat deep on those situations where they did, knowing what we think of Jim Leonard as a defensive coordinator. But that's what happens. That's why the players are out there. Players mess up a lot. But I'm interested because I also wanted, like, what do we got? We got like couple weeks for Wisconsin, Notre Dame. Like, I still don't know about that. Notre Dame, I think, took some shots to their roster in that game in Tallahassee. I think the left tackle, who's a top, going to be a top five pick, the true freshman, I think he's going to miss some time. And I think they lost some special teams guys. And I don't know when they're going to be back. So it's, that gets to one of my other picks this week that I will go over. I like the over in the Notre Dame Toledo game. Toledo's a team that we've talked about in the preseason. I like them to win the MAC. We're on their season win total. They got some NFL guys at spots. They're catching 16.5. And the over on their 54.5. I think they could score. I think they're going to score 20 plus. But I do think Notre Dame with Cone, I think they'll fix that run game. But I do expect them to do damage throwing the ball. I obviously, Kyren will get going. And Mayer, my guy, two big drops. He is a handful. And I'm interested to see what Toledo tries to do against him. Knowing they have some talent at the edge position and they got some guys in the secondary, but I still think both teams' offenses will show out. But we'll go over in South Bend. Interesting game there, and seeing how Notre Dame gets back off the deck. I expect a big boost from that home crowd. Texas, Arkansas, stinky.
Yes, very stinky.
Yeah, that's
very, very, very stinky.
That's what I sent for our lines that stink to Daily Wager for this week. It you touched on Arkansas. Wasn't pretty. The quarterback play has got to be better if they're going to win this game.
And it should be. Again, it will. Yep. That's why you play an opponent like that in the opener to work out the kinks and get people game action.
You still got Bryles calling plays. He's going to get you in the right position. I think you saw that with the comeback last week. But Texas on the other side was interesting, man. They showed some flashes. Obviously, Bijan getting the, you know, workload of things. I loved Sark putting him in the slot a la old Reggie Bush days and throwing the ball and getting matchups of him. Running go routes, running in routes, slants, quick screens. That's Sark offense. Like, and Hudson Carr looked good. You know, and I'll tell you, I think they beat a really good football team last week with Louisiana. I don't think Louisiana played well, and Texas took advantage of some miscues. I really like the kid Jordan Whittington, the receiver for Texas. I think that's going to be Hudson Card's best friend, but I don't want parts of giving 6.5, which I probably think would touch 7 here. I'm not sure about that.
I think it just did. Actually, oh, wow. I'm looking down. It's 7 pretty much in most places.
I think this place is going to be wild. Razorback Stadium, 7 Eastern, ESPN. That's going to be a doozy. So I would lean taking the home team there in a game that I will definitely have on, seeing what's at stake for both teams and knowing the history of that.
What do you got in the Diaco Bowl? Purdue minus 34 at the University of Connecticut.
Over.
They should bring him out to like do the coin flip or something. Ladies and gentlemen, former Purdue defensive coordinator and Connecticut head coach Bob Diaco.
Oh man, he wouldn't know what color pants. He wouldn't be able to wear what color pants he was going to wear. Cranberries.
I was going to say it could be like, remember when they did that first Bowden Bowl and Ann Bowden had like a part Florida State and part Clemson on. He could wear like a Purdue shirt and like UConn pants or something or something like that. But how bad is Vanderbilt, by the way?
Oh my God. They're playing Colorado.
You're like, a 7-point dog against a team that lost 42-23 on its home field to South Dakota State.
And that's my would you rather for the week. Would you rather sit in the stadium, sit in the stadium and watch Colorado State Vanderbilt or Temple and Akron?
Temple and Akron. Not even close, because I have a Temple under season win total bet. And I can sit there and that's another thing. How are they a big road favorite? They're a 6.7-point favorite, and they've lost six straight road games, including the last four by 47, 25, 35, and 12. And you're going to lay seven with them on the road against Mr. Art's team? Mm-mm. Not me. Mm-mm. I actually thought about taking Akron this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
My other game that I thought was going to be definitely an official, it's up to nine now, so I'm going to be careful. And it was going to be Miami against Appalachian State. I think they're going to come out and play well this week. Remember a couple of years ago, they went to Boone and they blew out an Appalachian State team that wound up winning 10 games. I'm not sure. I mean, I saw bits and pieces of that Appalachian State, East Carolina game out my hotel window, basically in Charlotte over the weekend. I don't know. We'll see what Chase Bryce can do against a Power 5 team again. Obviously, he turned the ball over a ton last year at Duke. But
yeah, he played well the other night against ECU. I watched a lot of that game.
Yeah, he did.
App State's got some receivers. They got some talent. How about East Carolina favored at home against in the Rowdy Dowdy against
flipped Patrick. By the way, totally flipped. Mm. Flipped. Yeah, South Carolina's laying points now. South Carolina.
Oh, really?
South Carolina minus two now. Yep.
Whoa.
That seems like a weird number.
Real weird
favorite in that game. Yeah, it didn't seem like it was the right opener.
Holy War line is kind of stinky to me too. Utah minus seven at Provo, late one. We know how emotional that would be. I did not think of much of BYU last week, but I don't want to give points in this rivalry. I think the world of it, and knowing what the feelings are between these two schools. And Utah was not impressive in their opener. I mean, they got the job done. They had a huge weather delay. It was one of those deals. But interested to see what Utah looks like here in a tough environment as they go to Provo. So that's an interesting one to me. Miami App State's a night game too. So App State, yeah, all right. I know what I wanted to bring up is, I don't know how game day is affected, but we got two games kicking off before noon Eastern this week. Did you know that?
I know we do.
And one of them I have circled as a pick. Illinois plus 10 in Charlottesville against Virginia. Virginia did whatever they wanted against William & Mary. Illinois, obviously, everybody saw them against Nebraska. And then they lose a game to a very good football team.
Yep.
And UTSA.
We all saw coming. We all saw that coming.
But I will say with Illinois, and like I said, UTSA, I picked them to win their conference. But with Illinois, I mean, Burt's got the offense going. They don't have any turnovers in their first two games. And when I think about Illinois, that's where I, you know, Bielema to come in and get things right. You know, I still think Epstein's a good player on the offense. Sikowski's, you know, thrown for 390 in two games and five touchdowns. I think Peters is coming back. I'm not sure.
I've heard that as well.
Isaiah, you know, Isaiah Williams, who was, I believe, the quarterback. And then he's out at receiver and getting carries and touches all over the place. I think Illinois hangs around enough here and covers the 10. It's one that just jumped out me, and I feel like there is a more validity to Illinois. I'm not saying it's great. I think it's good enough to cover 10 points in an 11 a.m. Eastern game in Charlottesville.
And there was one other game as well that I wanted to hit on, and I think it might be another one of those overreaction type of games, that TCU-Cal. That's like 11.5 right now. That seems like a lot of points to be given. Wilcox's team.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. I gave out Cal last. They were sloppy, really sloppy. And, yes. And I know Carson Strong is going to be in the NFL. I'm not afraid to say that. I mean, that kid, you talk about making some throws and putting the ball where it's supposed to be in big time situations. whether it's deep outs across the field or, you know, go routes. He was really impressive. But Cal, I thought they would be more buttoned up. And then I go back. Probably overlooked what they looked like last year. They had stupid things happen all over the place. What I mean by that is, you know, things just not making sense as far as schedule and trying to get games played. Mm-hmm. But I just thought they would be better, especially offensively, with the veterans they got back. And I didn't see that. Now, is it first game working on things against a team who is probably going to be a player in that Mountain West Conference? No, they will be a player in the Mountain West Conference. So I want to give Nevada credit, and I got no problem admitting I was wrong on that one. But that's what I saw there. But, yeah, TCU, I did not see TCU last week, and that's why
I didn't either.
I didn't get there. So I did think the over was an interesting number.
48.
I would think the over could come in there. But a lot of points in a Big 12 Pac 12 game. How about Tulane, man? Man, they played.
They sure did.
The Big Mike Happy Recappers presented by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate's new lower auto rates. Visit allstate.com or call an agent for a quote today. Championship savings for the win.
I got two officials for the Big Mike Happy Recap. Yeah, mm-hmm. Iowa State -4 is an official. Hopefully, it'll come down to 3.5 by then. And Washington +6.5 as an official. Do we want the considerings or no? Should I run down the considerings?
Sure.
Pitt -3.5, Mississippi State +2.5 considering, Cal +11.5 considering, and that's where we're at. So see okay. If we can add anything else to that.
My Big Mike Happy Recap, I'm going to go Illinois +10. We're going to go over in the Notre Dame-Toledo game, which is 54.5. We're going to take – now that it's 4, I'm going to take Iowa State with you, Bear, and I'm going to take Pitt. Pitt's an official for me. Just thinking about more with that Narduzzi defense. I think that's going to travel to Knoxville. So it's Illinois, Notre Dame, Toledo over Pitt and Iowa State.
Oh, and Miami, I was considering as well. I was considering that, but that's up to 9 now. So if that maybe comes back down to 8.5, I could look at that.
And if I had to take a favorite over 20 points, I would take Florida. That's what I
think. By the way, how hard was our guy Mullen trying to get that cover last week after giving up a couple of late scores? Wow, that was awesome stuff by him. Same with Arkansas too. Getting that cover, that was tremendous. I missed bad beats, by the way.
It's on the bird. You can check it out on the bird. Two parts this week. Two different tweets. So, yeah.
All right.
We went over 10 minutes of beats this week for week one. So we had to split it. We split it up for the people to watch on Twitter. One game we didn't touch on, I want to get to real quick because I think it's a real interesting game, is Kentucky and Missouri. And you talk about going late, Kentucky getting one to punch it in for the over and the cover, throwing the ball, two goal line fades before they ran it in inside the 10. That is also on bad beats.
Mark keeping the boys from Youngstown and the Kentucky horse people happy.
Yes, yes. You got it. Those Kentucky folks know what the deal is there. But I think it's a really interesting matchup because I think Kentucky's the more talented team. But man, it's really hard to go against Coach Drinkwitz and what he does offensively. He makes up for lack of talent, maybe better than anybody in that conference, when it comes to offensive game planning and scheming. So it's a stay away for me, but I'm dying to see how that one plays out because I believe Mizzou goes to BC next week, big one for our BC over, who I really, they get UMass this week, so they should take care of business without a problem there.
About one more addition to the Big Mike Happy Recap, my money line parlay that I got. This is a 7-teamer, this is +124 money line, Minnesota against Miami of Ohio, Notre Dame versus Toledo, Texas A&M versus Colorado, Penn State versus Ball State, Miami versus App State, SMU versus North Texas, and USC versus Stanford. That's plus 124. And then while I have it up, Victor Hovland, top 10, even money, the BMW PGA. You get everything here.
I'm also considering the over in the Western Kentucky Army game, 11:30 a.m. kick, because if you want to watch something, it's going to be – you talk about contrast of style. Western Kentucky's going to throw the ball every play. Army's going to run it every play. Usually the over fits well in those circumstances because the running team takes over and then the passing team comes back. But that's one I'm considering as an overplay. I think that'll do it. Bear, good luck.
Thank you, sir.
In Ames. I love that game's at 4:30 Eastern. I absolutely love it. All right. I think that'll do it. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.